Benefits could be cut for people who refuse treatment for drink, drugs or weight problems. This is a plan being announced by David Cameron. People who cannot work because they're fat could have their sickness benefits cut if they refuse treatment. So, do you reckon this will help get people back to work? Do you feel sorry for fat people who might have their benefits cut? Should it be implemented here? The Conservative, former Conservative MP, Edwina Curry, with us this morning. Morning to you, Edwina.
Good morning, Stephen.
Good morning. Nice to talk to you. And Patrick Mulholland from the Union Nipson. Morning, Patrick.
Morning, Stephen.
Good morning, good morning. What do you think, Edwina?
Well, I think he's on to something. Possibly not so much with the alcoholism and drug addicts, but certainly with obesity. There's been a whole spate of cases that have been in the press in Britain in recent months of very fat, mostly women, people on enormous amounts of benefits, a mother and daughter boasting matching mobility scooters who weighed, I think they were, 26 stone was mum and 17 stone was her daughter, and there was a baby in the house as well, and they were getting more than £30,000 a year in benefits, plus, of course, all their housing costs paid. I mean, people don't earn this kind of money. This is the problem.
Why is the fact they're fat got anything to do with it, Edwina? Why is that relevant?
Because it's relevant because it's the reason why they claim they can't work, because they claim to be disabled. But it's also something that they have brought upon themselves. And the interviews that some of these people have been giving to the press in Britain, particularly to the Daily Mail, have been very defiant. You know, so what? I'm quite proud of being fat. Fine, darling, but why should your neighbours next door, who have to get up in the morning and work, who have to budget very carefully to put the food on the table and pay the bills, why should they be paying for you to be so gross and so disgustingly fat that you can't work and then you can live on benefits for the rest of life? That does not make sense. When it comes to...
So all of a sudden, government is going to be distinguishing between people based on their weight. So you stand on a scale, and if you're a certain weight, you get benefits. You stand on the scale, and if you're too fat, you don't. Like, well, how ridiculous does that sound?
No, that doesn't sound too ridiculous to an awful lot of people. And it depends, of course, entirely on how whether the disability can be dealt with simply by an effort of will. At the moment, the incentives, Stephen, are all the wrong way. The incentives are to sit at home, collect your money, and stay unable to work. That's nuts. We're at a stage now where unemployment's been falling very fast. We're soon going to be at the stage where we're actually going to be short of good people working, and we should be getting people back into work. It doesn't make sense to be paying them to stay at home.
Patrick, I'll come to you in a second, but is there anything else from your party, Edwina Curry, that's going to come from your party? Have you got anything left in the box of the Tory party targeting people on benefits?
Oh, I should think so.
Is there anything left?
Well, let's bear in mind that benefits are still the biggest bill. And the biggest reason why we have a deficit, we're talking about huge amounts of money. If you include all kinds of benefits, you're talking about well over £200 billion a year. Yeah.
Now, well, that benefits bill, by the way, is pensions.
Of course it is.
We don't hear too much from you lot on that.
Of course it is. And that is a bill that is going to rise because the number of pensioners is rising in Northern Ireland as in the rest of the country. So, and you can't tell an 86-year-old to go back to work, even though actually you'd be surprised there's over 1 million pensioners who are in work, people who are able to claim their pension but are still working. Now, you know, you need to get back to a work ethic. We need to get back to a situation in which people are really very proud not to be claiming benefits, but to be proud to have got themselves back to work. We're not talking about an enormous number of people here. You've got 2.5 million people on disability benefits at the moment of one kind or another. And it's reckoned about 100,000 of those with the right encouragement and the right incentives could get back to work.
Patrick, we'll come to you in a second. Ronnie in Belfast, first call of the day. Go ahead, Ronnie.
Yeah, it's just like to say, and the way the curry would bubble on, there's a lot, no, I'm not saying it's just fat, but there's a lot of fat MPs sitting in the House of Commons. They're bleeding the government dry with all their free dinners, their free drink and their free wine, and now he's coming out talking about fat people and benefits.
I mean, there's an element of, well, two wrongs don't make a right, you know. And I don't think they get free drink and all the rest of it. You have to pay for it. And yeah, Stephen,
you used to have some freebies in your days, so you used to have dinners and
all that. Yeah, but I'd say the same thing again. Two wrongs don't make a right. Two wrongs are two wrongs.
Back to the government and then come back to the people.
But Ronnie, if there is someone that's so fat that they can't go out to work, do you want to subsidise them? Do you think they should be getting benefits because they're too fat?
Obviously the people have a problem. You know what it's like yourself, Stephen. It's not easy.
Of course it isn't easy, but that doesn't mean that it shouldn't be tried. I mean, I'd rather the money, if we're talking about government spending, I'd rather the money go to make sure the health service is in good shape. I'd rather the money go to make sure that our police officers are sufficient, that our intelligence services are chasing terrorists. There are an awful lot more important things to do than keep fat people at home.
Well, Ian, you want to start in the House of Commons now and work your way down.
I'm trying to think of the fat MPs in the House of Commons and the fat MLAs. You remember Paisley Jr. used to be a wee bit podgy. He used to have a wee bit of a belly, but he's lost it now. Who are the fat MPs, right? Ed Balls, he got a wee bit of a... Yeah. Eric Pickles. Pickles is fat. Pickles is definitely fat.
And he would make the excuse he's a Yorkshireman and lives on Yorkshire puddings, probably. But he's working. That's the point. He is actually working. He's not claiming benefits. You've got to remember, whenever you look at the sums, the money that people actually receive in their pockets, A, it's tax-free. B, on top of that, they're getting all their housing costs paid. And, you know, you get to the stage where they are getting... The reason that people do it... Whatever they say, the reason people do it and stay at home is they're getting far more money for doing absolutely nothing than they could probably earn. Now, that is wrong. That's not the way we should be doing things. That money has been paid by people who are working really hard, and they're paying it in order to pay for things they're going to need, like the health service.
What do you think, Patrick?
Morning, Stephen. I have to say, having listened to the last few minutes of this programme, it makes me almost despair. What we're listening to now is the latest childish soundbite coming out of the Tory party in pre-election mode. The election's about 6 weeks away. So what they're trying to do is whip up the most right-wing fundamentalist bigots to vote for them, to come out and vote for them rather than vote for UKIP. But what they don't seem to take account of is, by doing this, they are heaping humiliation and degradation on these people who find themselves with disabilities, find themselves with health problems, and are in a position that they can't work through no fault of their own. They are demonising people again, and it really does point to just what an awful, nasty party this is. I have to say, it also points to just rank economic incompetence, which is also something we've become used to with the Tory party. These are people who cannot deal with bankers, who cannot deal with those who are hiding their hundreds of millions overseas, can't deal with any of that, nothing serious to say about that. All the forces that they have in the country, they can't do a damn thing about that.
But Patrick,
they're going instead to try and turn the public against these people.
But Patrick, so let's take a number of situations, Patrick. Let's take a situation where there's someone that is eating himself into oblivion. And that's why he can't stand up anymore. That's why he can't go out and work. He's knackered if he goes out and does a day's work. So therefore, he's sitting in the house on benefits. Let's take someone who's sitting in the house drinking all day instead of going out to work. The Tories want to take their benefits away from them. You want to still give them taxpayers' money, do you?
Stephen, all of these people have terrible problems that need to be resolved. There's no question about that. Those problems need to be resolved. But this forced march, this attempt to force them down that road, does anybody seriously for one second think that that would resolve the problems these people have? Not for one second.
I tell you where
you go next. Put them in camps.
Why for heaven's sake.
Have the guts to say, put them in camps.
Look, this is not a serious discussion. If you have a look at some of the polls...
It's not a serious discussion with you, you idiot. It's because you come out with this absolute Tory rubbish, and it's 6 weeks away from an election. This is a headline grabber, and it's just typical of your party. You have nothing serious to say on the economy.
Well, neither of you at the moment.
You have nothing serious to say about how you're going to help people in this country. You have nothing serious to say about developing the economy.
I'll tell you one where you're right.
Instead of that, it's the latest soundbite from right-wing fundamentalist bigots.
Oh, now listen, I'm not abusive about you. I respect your views. I don't agree with them. You don't have to be abusive.
Hold on. Let's let her finish. Let her reply, Patrick.
Abuse is not a substitute for argument.
People who have a weight.
Let me just tell you something.
Let's let her reply.
Let me just tell you something. Just having a quick look at some polls that have responded to this. And overwhelmingly, the polls are in favour of doing something about this. The sort of polls that come up perhaps on local newspapers, you're talking about 74% saying this is a good idea, 23% saying no. As I work it out, that's 3-1, with very few people undecided. So people do have a strong view, and many of these strong views come from the people who live next door. It's not not coming from, you know, bunkers in Brussels or whatever. It's actually coming from the people who are paying these taxes. People are working very, very hard. Now, the targets here are the people who are refusing help, for whom help would be appropriate and who are refusing help. Now, it's exactly the same if you refuse a job, as I think everybody knows now. If you refuse to take a job, if you refuse to go for a job interview, you will lose your benefits.
And that's the key.
The sanctions have made a huge difference to getting people back to work.
Patrick Mulholland from NHPSA, that's the key point. They're not taking the money away straight away. They're taking the money away from those people who refuse to get help to help themselves back into work, Patrick.
Well, let's be clear. Start of this interview, Stephen. Edwina Curry came on your programme and talked about these people in an abusive and humiliating and joking fashion. These people have serious problems in their lives. They don't need the like of that coming on the radio and abusing them. We don't need that. And secondly, see, as far as creating an opportunity for people to get work, etc., I have no problem with that. And I have no problem with our health service giving all the support that people need to try and get them fit and healthy. Of course they should have all the support they need to get fit and healthy. But this idea that you can march people into that position, what you would end up...
So what if they keep refusing it, Patrick?
What you would end up doing, Stephen, if you took those measures, what you would end up doing is creating more problems. Any idea that you can force people down this road and that will resolve illnesses is just ridiculous.
OK, here's Sean. Morning, Sean.
In the opposite direction.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Sean.
Ask that lady, if they stop all the benefits on these people, what are they going to do? Leave them on the street to starve? Is that woman for real?
But how do you incentivise people who don't want to help themselves, Sean?
I agree with that, Stephen, but you cannot leave the people on the street to starve.
So how do you incentivise someone that is getting fatter and fatter and fatter and therefore cannot work? How do you incentivise them to stop work, to stop eating?
That person must have a problem.
How do you incentivise someone that's drinking themselves into oblivion?
They have a problem,
well,
Stephen.
But what? I acknowledge they have a problem, but if they won't get help for that problem, if help is being offered to them, Sean, and they won't take it, then what do you do?
Some people cannot be helped, Stephen.
So you just keep on handing them money, do you?
But they're handing it out hand over fist anyway, so it doesn't matter. And then they're hiding it too.
So you would seriously just keep giving people money?
We've been doing it for years.
It doesn't make it right, though.
It doesn't make it right.
And when it comes to hiding problems, one of the difficulties is that a couple of extremely large people have been boasting on breakfast TV and saying that cash incentives will help them lose weight. So the government is saying, right, OK, let's have a try at that. Let's see. It needs carefully devising. Of course it does. It needs carefully management. It's an expensive thing to do to supervise people while they're on withdrawal programmes of one kind or another.
Alex,
but if it
Lisbon.
Works, it's a great thing to try.
Morning, Alex.
Morning, Steve. No, I'm just listening to somebody here. When's the penny going to drop in this country? Whenever you're waiting on a waiting list for a knee operation or for a hip operation and there's no money, the money that could have went to that operation is possibly going to somebody on benefits, you know. And we're talking about people here. I have a weight problem. I've had for years, but it's never stopped me working. But if I got so large that I couldn't work, why should I get benefits? Why should society say, okay, you've got yourself into this state, you're refusing any assistance. Now, these people that could be targeted at ones that refuse any help. Not people who have taken every assistance they can get and still can't beat the bulge.
So you would take
we're talking here people who won't take assistance.
You would take the benefits off them, Alex.
Well, I would certainly be looking at cutting it.
Sean,
I can't answer that, Stephen. That's the truth. I can't answer.
Patrick Mulholland.
Yes, because why is it somebody who refuses help still get benefits? Why is it somebody who says, "I don't care. I'm just going to keep on eating. I'm going
to
kick the lifestyle I have, and you can pay me for it."
Are you going to leave them on the street to starve?
I didn't say leave them on the street. I said cut their benefits. I simply said, why is it somebody who's refusing help get handouts from the rest of us? Who's refusing help? Answer that question.
Patrick Mulholland?
Yeah, I will come in on that. Let's deal with the whole issue of people who have a drink addiction problem. Because a drink addiction problem isn't quite as sexy in the media from the point of view of Edwina Curry and company. It's not just quite as easy to get away with this one. If you have a drink addiction problem, you have lost control of your life and you have lost control of that problem. And it's not as simple as somebody going in with a big stick and beating you back to good sense.
Nobody's suggesting it.
Why is it somebody who refuses help?
Obviously, we would all want to see these issues resolved. And what you would do is you would work with people, you'd try to provide health advice, you'd try and provide whatever other counselling was necessary to get them to the point where the issues were resolved. It's almost like we are saying that people now who have a health problem have to be punished for having health problems.
No, that's not true.
It's disgraceful. It is disgraceful behaviour. I mean, can I ask, Edwina Curry, if there are people in work, in, like say in the Houses of Parliament, who are alcoholics, and we know there are, plenty of them, if they're alcoholics in the Houses of Parliament, they clearly would not work as efficiently as people who aren't alcoholics. It's a fair point. Should we pay them the same? Should we pay the alcoholic MP the same as we pay the non-alcoholic MP? What about the MP?
Patrick, hang on.
Should we pay them less? Somebody with a weight problem, should we pay them less? Somebody who maybe has a lifestyle that leads them down a road where they're not quite as efficient as their colleagues because they're too busy with their personal lives, should we pay them less?
Go on, Abina.
That's the road we are going to end up on.
All right, well, I will if Patrick will shut up for a second. Patrick, first of all, has clearly...
Can I just say something else, Edwina? See, if you're bringing
listen to him.
Mad election proposals. Well, at least base them on some scientific evidence. Where is the...
I think you've got a letter of reply to you.
...evidence that this would work.
Well, let her reply to you and don't shout all over.
Right. Patrick, first of all, by trying to shift the argument to alcoholism, has clearly conceded the point about obesity, and I'm grateful to him for that. Secondly,
Patrick,
I agree
with him.
Let her finish.
Now, we're not getting into this today. Let her finish.
I agree with him that people need a lot of help, a lot of support in order to come out of problems like alcoholism. I agree with him absolutely. And that's where the money should be going. And at the moment, it isn't. Our services for alcoholism, for addictions of various kinds are woefully inadequate. The money is going to stuff food and alcohol and drugs into people, not the other way around. The services should be available, and that's where the money should be going. And people will be encouraged. We're only talking about a small number of people. We're talking about 100,000 people out of the 2.5 million people who claim benefit.
The principle.
It's not
is
just the principle. I think once it gets going, once a lot of experience develops as to how to do this, Stephen, then it will be much easier to help other people and also to stop them getting into that state in the first place.
But it's not that easy, is it?
Of course it isn't.
If it was that easy to lose weight, if it was that easy to stop eating, if it was that easy to stop drinking, then there wouldn't be so many alcoholics and there wouldn't be so many fat people.
That's absolutely right. But also, if it wasn't so darned easy to stay in that state living on benefits, perhaps there'd be fewer people doing it.
So Edwina thinks that people want to have problems like this and live on benefits instead of having good lives where they earn a good living and they can enjoy their lives.
That's, oh, I grew up in the city of Liverpool. Believe me, I know lots of people like that.
I don't think you'd need to go to the city of Liverpool. Go and look at the House of Parliament. There's no end of people living in there who don't do a day's work.
What do you mean you know lots of people like that in Liverpool? What do you mean, Edwina?
I grew up in Liverpool in the 1940s, 1950s. Yes. But not always, and not for everybody.
So what are you saying about Liverpool?
No, what I'm saying is this, that in many... Patrick is a lot more right than he will allow me to admit to him.
What are you saying about Liverpool?
And what I'm saying is that there are lots of people that I knew that I grew up with for whom being at home, being on benefits, not working, was far, far more attractive than going to work. I have the work ethic, and Patrick has
and
the
you,
work
and
ethic.
You say Liverpool,
and you have the work ethic,
say,
but not everybody's like
you
that.
You say Liverpool is still like that?
It's much less so than it used to be. It's much less so, and thank God for that.
Can I just say on this, part of what is going on here and what really needs to be pinned down with the Tories and the Tory fringe, like Edwina, I know she's on the far fringe of it, but she's still part of the Tory fringe. Can I just say, part of what is going on here is the Tories want us to be talking about everything possible and blaming everybody you can think of to blame, apart from talking about the state of the economy.
Which is in pretty good state.
The lack of real jobs being developed. Real jobs, Edwina.
What are real jobs?
Not the little
what are real jobs, Patrick?
Not the little part-time jobs people are being squeezed into all over the
What's
country.
A real job? One not with a great big salary for doing very little?
Hold on. Not the 0 hours contracts that people are forced into and then have to claim top
okay.
up.
Here's Jim this morning. Morning, Jim.
Good morning, Stephen. How's it going?
Go ahead, Jim.
Yeah, listen, I've been listening to this argument for years and years and years, and I wonder if Edwina actually knows her figures. You know, they've been telling people for years, incentive to go out to work. What work? There isn't any work. If she knows how many people's on benefits in Northern Ireland, and if she knows how many jobs are available in Northern Ireland, she would know that it is impossible. And cutting someone's benefit doesn't just magically make a job appear for them. It doesn't work. It's just punishing people who have... I was out of work for 9 years. And every day I was searching for a job. And after 9 years, I offered a part-time job, which I jumped at with both hands. It's not the fault of the people. And like I say,
But if we come back years and years,
there's always going to be unemployment.
If we come back, Jim, to what we're talking about today, which is those people who they can't work because of their weight. They can't work because they have contributed to their own immobility.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you my own personal story. I have a son who is bipolar. And through no fault of his own, he is ill. And he has been employed on and off, and he can't hold down a job because of his illness. And she's telling me she's going to punish him for that. That is absolutely scandalous. Scandalous. He does his best. He tries. He goes out and he gets a job. He can't hold it down because of his illness. He suffers bipolar. He suffers from depression. And things just don't work for him. And he keeps trying. And she's going to tell me she's going to cut the life out of him. I'm so angry at her. She's lived on another planet.
Do you want to speak to her?
Well, it would be inappropriate to discuss a particular case. Well, okay. In those circumstances, you know more about the case than I do.
You're just generalising. You can't generalise. You're just generalising. People who are fat cut their benefits. People who are ill cut their benefits.
And isn't that the danger of this Tory policy, Edwina, that it does generalise as a point of principle?
But also the danger of the way we've just been, of the case, the sort of example we've just been hearing, is you label people and they regard themselves as unemployable. Lots and lots of bipolar people are working.
But you're labelling people. You are generalising, you're labelling.
You were asking a question a moment ago about jobs in Northern Ireland. I've just been looking them up.
Yes, go ahead.
If you look on one website, read.co.uk, 525 jobs in Northern Ireland, including no experience required, start in sales and consumer service, just added. Consumer service, sales, Belfast, no experience required. That went on the website on the 8th of February and has had only two applications.
Right.
There are also some extremely well-paid jobs there and there's training offers.
What's your
immediate
point?
Well, my point is the jobs are there.
Yeah, what is the point? And can you tell me how many people...
The jobs are there. And what happens is that people start coming in 1,000 miles from Poland to do these jobs. And they're coming and they're keen and they're working.
That's totally irrelevant. It's not irrelevant. It totally is. You're saying people in Northern Ireland aren't keen to work? People who get a job aren't keen to do a job. People from Poland can do a better job.
I'm saying people are not applying for the jobs that exist. So before you start saying there aren't any jobs, go and have a look at the jobs website. You'll see there are.
You just told me how many jobs there are. Can you tell me how many people are on benefits in Northern Ireland?
Too many.
Yes, figure compared to the many jobs.
Too many. Too many in Northern Ireland, too many in Liverpool, too many in the High Peak.
You can't give me a figure.
And some of them need help to get back into the work. Well,
so
what?
Who are unemployed.
So what?
You could give me a figure for the jobs that are available.
I
can tell you now, the jobs that are available and the people that are unemployed, there is no comparison. 10 times, maybe more than that, more people unemployed than there is jobs available.
But wouldn't you rather they be in work?
Yes, exactly.
Wouldn't you rather be helped? Wouldn't they be helped if they need help to get back into work?
Exactly.
Isn't that a better deal?
Is it help or
deal?
Is it punishment?
Cutting their benefit. Cutting their benefit isn't
helping
them.
It's not help, Edwina. It's punishment, isn't it?
It's punishment, exactly.
It's carrot and stick.
You can't cut someone's benefit. You think cutting the benefit is just going to magic a job out of nowhere.
No,
once
but it can magic...
their benefit, Monday morning they'll come and start work.
Oh, you'd be surprised.
You would be surprised.
I would be very surprised, let me tell you, because I've been there.
And my family's been there. And there's no way... what you're saying is right. You are just punishing the working class people, as usual. As usual.
Yeah,
it just doesn't add up. The number of people looking work and the number of jobs available
Add up. When sanctions first came, I think it's worth remembering that the checking of whether people were genuine disabled and claiming who were on benefits started in 2009 under the last Labour government because they could see the problem as well. They could see that it's very easy to claim and busy people in the benefits office don't always have the chance to check. What we're doing now is we're saying, look, there are people there who need a bit more help. They need a bit more help because their problems are genuine, but their problems are reversible. And with that help, they can be enabled to get back into work and have a fulfilled life like everybody wants, or everybody that's been on the radio claims that they want.
I don't buy that about government. I don't buy it at all. Labour government, Conservative government, they're all the same.
It's a coalition government right now.
Labour went out the window in the 60s. Labour is dead and buried. These are all the same clack. And you look after each other. You get all your money and you're happy enough to...
Tell me something. Do you vote?
Do I vote? Yes, I do.
Well, you found somebody that you think is doing the good job. Sooner or later, we all have to pay for all of this. You can have whatever you want in life, whether it's government or household, as long as you can pay for it. And the problem that we face in the UK is that we're still actually not covering our costs. And one of the key things to do is get people back into work. At the moment, we're sucking immigrants from all over the world to do the jobs that our own people can't or won't do.
We were asking about the unemployment figures earlier on. I'm just looking at the seasonally adjusted number of people claiming unemployment-related benefits. December 2014, those are the latest figures we have. 50,200 people in Northern Ireland. That's down 900.
There you go. And how many jobs are available from the previous month.
Well, that's 900 people that got jobs, isn't it?
How many jobs are available?
It's the 24th consecutive. I don't know. It's the 24th.
Edwina knows. She said 500 and something.
No. I said one website.
That was one website. That's the 24th consecutive month in which there was a fall in this measure of unemployment.
So something's working.
So it's going down because the economy's improving, Edwina. So it therefore follows that when there was recession, it wasn't just a huge influx of lazy people. It was people that couldn't get jobs. Here's a banker caller. Good morning. Go ahead.
I'm just listening to this, and I did a wee tot up there. And I'm only getting, I had a stroke in August 2009, and my total income is in around the £6,100 a year. Now, I get about £400 a month into the bank to a check that I pay £101 out for my mortgage. I've got to pay for my oil, the electric, the gas, the food. And what does that leave me with? Now, I want to get back to work, but I've been told I can only work 15 hours, 59 minutes a week and earn no more than £104.
That's if you stay on benefits. That's right. That's absolutely right.
Yeah.
What are your skills? What are your skills? What can you do? What kind of job are you after?
I can do many jobs. I know there's several out there that could have.
But he's not well, Edwina.
I know other people that are in wheelchairs. They're in exactly the same boat. They want to work, but they'll lose their benefits. And the thing is, if I do
take on a job
and lose my benefits, and that job does not work out like that other chap, I could have started fighting all again to get my benefits back.
Well, but I think you need to check this out because, in fact, if people have disabilities, permanent disabilities, they continue to get a substantial amount of support and help, including, for example...
they go to work.
He doesn't know if he's got permanent disability, does he?
Yeah,
he
has a permanent disability.
All right, well, I think you need to go and talk to somebody about this because people with a permanent disability will continue to get some help, all right?
So people
and you
are,
should
people
be able
permanent
to...
permanent disabilities that are telling me that they've checked this out and...
Don't talk to other people about it because they don't. What happens is people just continue to share the wrong information.
They have actually checked this out with the authorities.
Well, you go and
do it.
You mean you haven't? Well, I think you should go and get a check
again.
Up
and got the information.
Well, I think you should go and have an interview and get a proper discussion going about what you can and can't do and what you're entitled to.
I've already done that.
Try again.
All right.
Keep trying. Yeah, I think we have to do that.
You don't have much sympathy, Edwina, do you?
We have to get people back to work. You know, the best benefit is a job.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I know a lot of people that want them. A lot of people that are qualified to get a job tomorrow.
Not everybody can go into the jungle, Edwina, and get 75 grand like you did.
Correct.
Thank you, Stephen. That's really supportive.